Today we track the approaching tribulation storm. There is a shelter for every believer.
Thank you for joining us for CBN Newswatch. I'm Ephraim Graham. Ahead today, wars and rumors of wars as both Russia and North Korea threaten to use nuclear weapons. The growing concern Vladimir Putin might actually use nuclear weapons in Ukraine as Russia suffers setbacks.
He's a cornered animal, and I think he's more and more dangerous, just what's happened in the last 24 hours.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today we talk to author Pete Garcia. This hour is a storm warning. Jesus Christ offers a shelter in the coming storm. Our times are becoming more perilous each day. But if you have a biblical perspective, you know God has everything under control. Here is today's programming.
I'm so glad you can join me for Understanding the Times Radio today. I'm so pleased to be introducing the newest book from Terry James, Trajectory, Tracking the Approaching Tribulation Storm. Terry is general editor, but there are 17 contributors, including my guest this hour, Pete Garcia. And I'll name other contributors later, but I want to set the stage for today's program first. I'm going to expand our conversation a bit this hour, so I'm going to be opening with some current events. Now, Pete's chapter is in part going to make you further aware of something we talk about on this radio program frequently, and that's the agenda of the globalists, making us one world, which of course comes right out of the Bible. Revelation 13, other places refer to it as well, other chapters in Revelation for sure. And for them to assemble this globalist world, a crisis is needed. We have a few going on as I speak. And as I speak, Russia is threatening nuclear war. The U.S. government is talking about anti-radiation medication. Are these threats just that of a crazy global elite again, pushing an agenda that specializes in sensationalism, threats, and worst-case scenarios, so we will cave to them? Well, we'll talk about that. And then I want to remind you, because we're going to play some clips. 2 weeks ago, we had our bi-monthly Understanding the Times conference in Minneapolis with Pastor Billy Crone. Again, I want to play two, if not three, sound bites because they play into the discussion that I hope to have this hour. My guest, Pete Garcia, has been a career military man, so I feel he can intelligently offer some comments on the state of U.S. and global affairs today, as we certainly could have, if not World War III on the horizon, just some major war conflicts on the horizon, and that is an understatement. So, Pete Garcia, welcome back to Understanding the Times Radio.
Thanks for having me, Jan.
Some bullet point questions here. And as I said to my audience, I want to open with some current events, and I want your perspective on them. Again, you have been a career military man, Army fellow, you're now retired. Many say the current tension as it concerns Vladimir Putin and his potential use of nukes is taking us back to 1962, Cuba Missile Crisis. And I always say, Pete, that when a tyrant or a dictator speaks and threatens, believe him. They are mentally unstable. They are ruthless. They do not care who they hurt. So what do you think are the chances of a nuclear exchange or a nuclear detonation in Ukraine or beyond Ukraine?
I think that the comparison to the Cuban Missile Crisis is apropos, but what I would say is that we are in a far weaker state of national readiness than we were even in 1962. So I think that the threat is greater now than it was then. Putin has been an advocate of this Eurasian empire that he'd like to see expand, courtesy of his ideologue mentor, if you will, Alexander Dugin, and his philosophy on how greatness should expand and emanate from Russia. And I think that for all the detractors for Putin, the one thing that you can at least give him credit for is to say that when he says something, he generally means it. So when he is making these threats, I think we need to take them seriously and not poke the bear and not provoke actions that are going to further escalate the situation that we have going on.
Well, I think Zelensky is poking the bear. You said to me off air, Putin will make Ukraine an example. Tell me what you mean by that.
Early on, we've seen a lot of restraint from Russia in terms of military actions, what they were willing to do. And generally, they were not targeting a lot of civilian infrastructure. They were not targeting the energy sectors and the water sectors. And then they've largely avoided hitting Kyiv for all intents and purposes. They've hit all around it up until just recently. But here with this latest provocation with the Kerch Strait Bridge, with that being blown up by Ukrainian special forces and presumably some British intelligence there, I think that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, if you will. So now Kyiv is off the table in terms of attacks. They've had 18 different strikes all over Ukraine. They've been very strategic in what they've been aiming at. They've been going after their ability to produce energy. They've been going after their water. They've been going after strategic locations that NATO had been intending to use or were using for staging areas. So I think they've been very specific in what they're trying to hit. And these are significant and catastrophic damages to Ukraine in terms of their ability to even weather this coming winter. And depending on how cold this winter is going to be, this is going to be something they're going to be feeling for a while now. So we'll see how much longer Zelensky continues to provoke Putin. But if they continue the escalation, I think Putin will continue to ramp it up even more. And that's where I think this is going to be, where he makes Ukraine an example of not to mess with Russia. And I know that we're concerned in the sense that we want to prolong this and we want to make this a very long, drawn out, painful process for Russia. But I think that suing for peace at this point is probably the best course of action for everybody.
Well, you said to me earlier, let's just, for discussion here, he sets off a nuclear or more than one, that radiation is going to blow back onto motherland Russia. So what is he thinking?
I think Russia has a lot of weapons of mass destruction in their arsenal. I don't necessarily think that they would detonate a nuclear weapon within Ukraine itself for the obvious reasons of the weather patterns and that stuff blowing back into the borders of Russia and Ukraine, especially a city like Belgorod, which is pretty close to the Ukraine border. But they do have MOAB, their own versions of the MOAB, the mother of all bombs. They have EMP strikes. I mean, they have a number of different things in their arsenal they can use. I think the nuclear option will be reserved for any Western power that decides to actually put boots on the ground or attempt to attack Russia directly. And I think that's where we see that submarine floating around in the Atlantic somewhere clandestinely. That's where that threat is out there. And I think everybody is aware of it. And that's going to give everybody pause in terms of how far they're willing to go in terms of attacking Russia directly.
So this is a couple of weeks ago. Again, we had Understanding the Times one night event here in Minneapolis. Again, Pastor Crone, Mark Henry, myself. At that event, we talked about the fact that the globalists have to keep creating a crisis. It's the only way they can manage the outcome. It's the only way they can cause governments to collapse and then ultimately fall into their arms of a one-world system. So I just want to play a clip from that evening, Pete Garcia, and I think it's going to complement what you and I have already talked about here for about 10 minutes, and then I want to come back and talk about it.
You know, there's a threat of nuclear war. We've seen Putin recently threatening and some significant things happening there. Obviously, he's not doing well in the Ukraine. And General Petraeus just the other day said, you know, America's given $17 billion to push against him. So on the street, people are asking, hey, are we going to have World War III? Is this the end of the world? I want you guys to see this video, and I want you two to jump in and respond to it.
Olinya Air Base, it's near Finland, and it's the headquarters of Russia's Naval Reconnaissance Air Division. Now, it normally houses heavy bombers and cruise missiles. It's an important staging ground for Russian military operations in Ukraine. On August 21st, an Israeli intelligence firm, ISI, noticed something unusual at Olinya Air Base. Satellite imagery detected the, quote, unusual presence of four Tu-160 Russian strategic bombers there on site. Now, these are strategic supersonic bombers that are designed to carry nuclear weapons. You're seeing the satellite images from Olinya Air Base on your screen right now. Then, just days ago, on September 25th, Israeli intelligence spotted three more Russian strategic bombers at Olinya. These were Tu-95 turboprops. They're one of the oldest nuclear-capable missile platforms in Russia's arsenal. So prior to August, the Jerusalem Post reports there were no strategic bombers at Olinya. Now, as of this week, there are at least seven. Ukraine is now well within the range of both bombers. In related news, the deputy of head of Ukraine's intelligence just determined that there's a, quote, very high risk of imminent tactical nuclear strikes on Ukraine. Now, given all of this, every NATO country now needs to answer a very basic question. How are you going to lower the temperature How are you going to prevent global nuclear war? It's really the only question that matters. Our leaders, though, have no answer, none whatsoever. Instead of calming tensions, in fact, they seem to be deliberately provoking Russia. Today, Joe Biden once again accused Vladimir Putin of blowing up his own pipeline.
You also asked me earlier about the pipeline, and let me say this. It was a deliberate act of sabotage, and now the Russians are pumping out disinformation and lies. And at the appropriate moment when things calm down, we're going to be sending divers down to find out exactly what happened.
So if you didn't grow up with the Bible, the question is going to be, is there going to be, does God describe to us a global nuclear war? Are we going to have World War III? Is this the end of the world?
Well, I think the unthinkable is in the process of happening. And again, how much we're here to see remains a question, obviously. The unthinkable seems to be happening, and that is somebody is planning for a nuclear war. I did not think I would live to see this. And keep in mind that the nuclear capability now versus 1945, there's no comparison. So this is very, very unnerving. Billy, your take?
Yeah, I think like you'd mentioned, the modus of operandi for these guys who are orchestrating a lot of these global events that we're just forced to walk through is their modus of operandi is you create a crisis so you can manage the outcome. And they even admitted it. They tell you their plans. Schwab had said that the jab issue was their moment to begin to usher in this, quote, great reset, which I'm convinced as well is basically the Antichrist kingdom when you look at how they describe this so-called great reset. But in order to pull that off, then you have to create a crisis so you can manage the outcome. Well, the jab issue only got you so far. And so then what did they do after 2 years of that? Do you guys remember how fast that issue dropped like a hot rock in the media? Nonstop, every day for 2 years. We were so sick of it. And then all of a sudden it was like, Russia, 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 Ukraine, Ukraine, Ukraine. And we were even laughing, going like, what happened to the jab? Right? Remember that? Because that became the next cycle of crisis to go further. Because the jab issue only got them so far. But they're not done. So they got to keep another one. So I think lately, Russia-Ukraine is just a conflict to excuse supply chain interruptions is what it started. Now the energy-related issues, the food issues, the fertilizer issue, all that kind of stuff. But I think it could lead towards creating the third stage of conflict, and that is an excuse to launch a war. I mean a true war, to where that would become the next global crisis to further push their agenda down the road. Now, as far as the full-on nuclear winter, I wouldn't surprise me if they did do a couple dirty nukes or smaller ones, but I don't see a full-on nuclear winter like you see the Terminator movies and the whole planet's dark in sky, and because you don't see that, because we know in the seven-year tribulation, society continues to function. They do the Mark of the Beast system, and it's going to be horrible, but they're still, you can't do that in a full-on nuclear winter. But would they use some as a scare tactic to further their agenda? I don't doubt it 1 second.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line Pete Garcia, as he is a contributor to the newest Terry James book, Trajectory, Tracking the Approaching Tribulation Storm. And because Pete has a military background, I'm opening the program talking about some current events. Pete, so Billy Crone just closed off that little paragraph that, yep, he agrees that they're wanting a crisis because that's obviously going to aid in the whole global agenda here. And you write about that. Your thoughts again, please.
I think Billy Crone's right with regards. This is like the Hegelian dialectic on a global scale. So the Hegelian dialectic is simply the thesis, the antithesis, and then the synthesis. So the synthesis is the solution that's already been created prior to the whole thing. This is where they want to take everybody. So we talked about off air that I think that the craziness we're seeing in the world today regarding all of the military conflicts, the economic conflicts, the fertilizer issues, the logistics, all of that is being artificially driven to create such a state of panic in the world that people are going to be clamoring for somebody to come and fix this. And this is exactly what Satan is doing. He's driving these nations crazy. And then at some point, our understanding is it would be right after the rapture that this man steps forward and he is the one that's going to be able to solve all these issues. He's able to solve all these issues because Satan is behind all these issues. Therefore, turning these problems into solutions is not going to be a problem for him. But right now, what's interesting is that out of the 10 major military and economic conflicts in the world, seven of them have ties to Ezekiel 38:39, to this Gog-Magog conflict, whether we're talking about Russia, Ukraine, Armenia, and Azerbaijan,
Iran, Iraq, Ethiopia, Libya, Turkey, all having major issues. And that these problems that we're seeing right now that are seemingly not connected will find their connection right after the rapture of the church.
Well stated. I'm moving on to another event. It's not so current, partly because issues get outdated in a matter of days, certainly weeks. Nonetheless, a game changer, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago on this program with Brandon Holthaus, the game changer of the Nord Stream pipeline ordeal. And I personally, I'm sick at heart at what the Europeans may be facing energy-wise. And online sources that I think are reliable, and you actually are very acquainted with some of these online sources, so we're not just picking somebody out of the blue, suggest that America likely blew up this pipeline. This is now 2 to 3 weeks ago. And there's evidence of an American plane in that region at precisely the time, early morning, where this incident happened. If true, America has gone from the benefactor of the world to a global threat with this kind of recklessness. If, in fact, America and the plane involved dropped some kind of an explosive that then blew up a couple of these pipelines. Your thoughts, please.
We know that this was not a naturally occurring event. This wasn't an earthquake. We know it wasn't anything that would naturally happen in the ocean. So something, somebody had to affect this. It was in the range of 700 kilograms of TNT that the seismologists in Sweden detected. So Nord Stream 1 and 2 are actually four pipelines. Nord Stream 1 is two pipelines and Nord Stream 2 is two pipelines. Three of those pipelines have been damaged. And these pipelines are so massive and they're built so strong. They're steel reinforced with concrete. They are designed for if a giant tanker ship dropped an anchor on top of one of these things, it would just bounce right off. So we know that it would had to have been a massive detonation that happened at this depth, which is about 60 meters or 180 feet. Now, what you're referring to in terms of the data, I think there's two things. One, it speaks to culpability, and the other, it speaks to motive. So what the source here online talked about, these are hard facts that we know that the U.S. military was the only plane ship operating in that area that night. I think it was the 26th of September. That was the only aircraft in that area, the only boats in that area. We know that that particular plane had the capability to drop that kind of payload, and they seemingly departed that area and they tried to scrub the whole flight as if it never happened. So that speaks to culpability. The other one is motive. Why would the U.S. do it? And it goes back to a leaked RAND report that was made available in January of 2022. And basically, the summary of that is that the U.S. is trying to keep the status quo, the post-World War II status quo. So what that means is we had the Marshall Plan in effect. We have the Bretton Woods Agreement in effect. And basically, we needed Europe to remain dependent upon the United States. Just like a drug dealer keeps his customers hooked on whatever he's selling, we are trying to keep Europe hooked on what we're selling. And that is our energy, our products, our dollars. And we're trying to keep that status quo in place. What we did not want was a strong, independent EU with its own military. We don't want them to become rivals, essentially, right? So the best way, according to this RAND report, was to, if you could destabilize Germany, you would destabilize the EU. Not only would you do that with this Nord Stream 1 and 2 pipeline, by attacking that, you're severing that relationship between Germany and Russia, which had been getting better over the years, right? So we wanted to sever that. And going back to NATO, NATO's end state has always been to the complete destruction of Russia. Think about it. So the Soviet Union collapsed in 91. How come NATO didn't collapse? I mean, the whole purpose of NATO was to confront and to limit Soviet expansion. So the Soviet Union collapses. NATO should have been disbanded and become something else, like a European Defense Force, but it didn't. They kept NATO there and it even increased it. And that's been the big source of tension over these last 20, 30 years between the United States and Russia, is that NATO keeps getting closer and closer to the borders there.
I'm going to play another clip. This goes back to our October 6th event where we talked about this, because what's happening, folks, is right now Europe is getting so nervous and destabilized that they're going to cry out for a Mr. Fix-It here eventually. And we talked about that. But the globalists, keep in mind, they want everything destabilized. That's how they gain their traction and eventually going to gain their power, is through destabilization on planet Earth.
Europe's going to be facing a lot of problems here very shortly. All of our friends online that are with us and going to be watching us want you to know we're praying and we love you. But this is going to make things really complex. Espionage, when that happens, they always point fingers. But the question is, who's really doing it? So give us your thoughts.
Well, the candidates, of course, Russia, America, Israel could certainly have done it. The Ukrainians, I don't think the Ukrainians has the sophistication to go very, very deep underwater. I know Billy feels that it's just, again, the one-worlders have done this, the globalists, Schwab and company have done it, because it further destabilizes everything. But worse than that, as you said, we've got these poor Europeans. They've got a food issue over there, serious food issue. Now they have no energy. Do you think Europe is going to be right for a Mr. Fix-It, a man with a plan, to come in and fix their terrible, deplorable situation over there?
Yeah, I would agree, Jen. I don't think that ultimately we'll ever know who the exact culprit was. But it's the old adage, if you want to know something, follow the money trail. In these instances, I'd say follow the geopolitical trail. Who is it that's going to gain from this, right? And then I would go back again to the globalist, the World Economic Forum. Again, what's their modus of operandi? We need constant crises in order to further advance our agenda to get people to surrender their livelihoods, their national sovereignty, to go along with basically what they want. A one world government, a one world religion, a one world economy, cashless society. And what does that sound like? And that's why I agree with you, Jen, wholeheartedly. They call it the fourth industrial revolution all they want, the great reset all you want. It's just we're seeing the underpinnings, the foundation being laid for the Antichrist kingdom. So these guys have a lot to gain from that because, again, in the short term, it's going to further disrupt the problems that are already happening in Europe. It's going to exacerbate them tremendously with the energy. And it's not just heating your homes. Energy is needed. Fuel is needed for crops, for transportation, for goods. It's going to disrupt everything. But see, that's what these guys want. So that people will say, like Jan said, oh, we're here to fix your problem, right? You just need to surrender over to us.
Pete Garcia, your thoughts on some of the comments you just heard?
I think he's right. There is a grand scheme afoot right now. As of the last couple of years, it seems to be led by the World Economic Forum. What a lot of people don't understand about this, they think it's a European thing, but it's really not. It was created in the United States. A lot of people consider Klaus Schwab to be one of the most dangerous men in the world. But we need to simply look at who influenced him to think the way that he does. When we do that, we find really three Americans at the center of that, John Galbraith, Herman Kahn, and Henry Kissinger. And Henry Kissinger has been a lifelong mentor to Klaus Schwab. And this whole plan that they have is built around the 1960s, 1970s American, or I say Johnson-Nixonian framework for the U.S. remaining in charge. But what it's morphed into now is this growing technocracy where they're trying to create a world that the elites run everything and the nations, and they're not even nations anymore, they want them to be regions subordinate to this grand plan. And then all of us fall in line. We're at this point, we become the worker bees in this grand scheme of things.
So the benefactor of this ordeal, and again, we did talk about this at our mini conference a few weeks ago, the benefactor appears to be Israel because, Pete, as you know, Israel has more natural gas in the Mediterranean almost than she knows what to do with. She's obviously starting already to export it to other parts of the world. That kind of begs the question, is this natural gas part of the spoils that you just referenced? Gog Magog, Ezekiel 38:39 a few minutes ago. Does this natural gas play into that scenario? Probably. I mean, there are other things. There's the wealth of the Dead Sea, etc. Technology in Israel. Play one more clip in this first half of my program. It happens to be Brandon Holthaus talking about all of this. The point here is all prophecy, every discussion that we have, and on this program, when it concerns last day's events, it usually comes back to the nation of Israel.
As you know, as you read through the Old Testament, all prophecy ultimately comes back to Israel. Why? Because there is covenant people. So the question is, how does this pipeline and how does this crisis in Europe fit into the Bible and how does it bring us back to Israel? Somehow it's going to come back to Israel. Obviously, the church is not in the Old Testament. The church is a mystery in the Old Testament. The church is going to be taken out in the rapture. But God's time clock, prophetically, will always come back to Israel. So let's watch this.
Now let's bring it to Israel. All roads lead back to Israel for some reason. So what's happened to Israel as far as natural gas? Well, they struck it rich. So now here's what happened in June of this year, 2022. Israel now will send gas to Egypt, and those flows will be redirected to Europe, which is stockpiling gas ahead of for the winter time, okay? With Russia limiting natural gas flows to Europe, member nations have had to increasingly turn to other supplies. That being one is Israel. So they're cranking out plenty of gas for Europe. This article notes interesting things. 2009, this is when Israel found its natural gas supplies out there in the Mediterranean. And the reserve has 311 billion cubic meters off their coast. Israel's gas reserves are so rich that they can supply not only Israel, but Europe as well. Like I said, June 2022, Israel and the European Union signed a natural gas agreement. The agreement says that Israel will send its gas through Egypt's pipelines. Signing this trilateral agreement is Europe's solution for replacing the Russian gas imports it has relied on for decades. Huh. So these are the gas finds off of Israel. So you have Leviathan, Tamar, Delit, Merabee, and there's other little ones, Gaza Marine, and Gaza controls that, I believe. This is major. This is unlimited gas, not only for Israel, but for all of Europe. That's how much gas they have found. It's crazy. Here are the pipelines that are being ran right now to Egypt. You can see them in red. One of them is going straight up, and the other one's obviously the pipelines going to Israel, and then the pipelines going to Egypt. Those Egyptian pipelines are giving gas to Europe right now. Huh. Here's an interesting thing. There is a proposed East Mediterranean pipeline that was proposed, and America shot it down. And this, as you can see, which goes straight up to Greece, into Italy, and then into Europe, coming from Israel's gas reserves. And for some reason, we stopped it. We didn't want it happening. This, if America had said, we're going to go through with this, it would have been ready by 2025. But now, it is not in production at all. But this is what they were planning. But someone said, this is not a good idea. I wonder who and why. Why would America tell them this is not a good idea when we've been telling Europe to get off of Russia's gas? But we didn't want them to use Israel's gas.
Folks, you wonder why America has a lot of problems right now? You can't go against God's covenant land, Israel, like you just heard. That was Brandon Holhouse. Back again, this was at a previous conference we had in the Twin Cities here in the last few weeks. When we played these clips, you can't go against God's covenant land and expect to have a very blessed country. We spent the first half of my programming discussing some of these current events, but in part two of my programming, we need to talk about Pete's chapter in Terry James' newest book, Trajectory, Tracking the Approaching Tribulation Storm. Everything we've talked about the first half hour, it's setting the stage again for the coming seven-year tribulation from which the church is absent. We are enjoying heaven because we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And Pete writes about the rapture of the church in his chapter in this book. The chapter is titled Report on the Roaring Seas. We've just talked about the roaring seas. That's describing the world right now. I'm back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In the age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Olive Tree Ministries. We are pleased to be carrying Terry James' newest book, Trajectory, Tracking the Approaching Tribulation Storm. While Terry is general editor, the book features the writings of 17 contributors, including Wilfred Hahn, Tim Moore, Pete Garcia, Tom Hughes, Dave Reagan, Mike Gendron, and more. Each contributor, with superlative analysis of the issues and events of our end-of-the-age turbulence, lights up in radar-scope-like magnification the boiling end-time clouds approaching from across the prophetic horizon. Each contributor to the Trajectory book zeroes in on different issues prominent today. Find the book in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Be sure to get on our e- and print newsletter list where all our products are promoted. Consider the new book, Trajectory, Tracking the Approaching Tribulation Storm, today. It will help you as a watchman on the wall.
All of these policies are designed to fail, and they're designed to create chaos. And ultimately, that chaos is going to lead to some man coming forward after the rapture of the church who will have the answers and have the ability to fix all these problems.
Are you taking advantage of all that Olive Tree Ministries has to share with you? We post daily headlines, dozens of cutting-edge apologetics articles, years of radio programming in both audio and video form, an opportunity to sign up for an e- and print newsletter, and an online store with dozens of products to help you be watchmen on the wall. Visit our website for this information, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Here are Jan Markell and Pete Garcia to wrap up today's programming.
Although life will continue after the rapture, believers will leave a great vacuum that will negatively affect the world at large. There will be need for serious readjustment by the government of every nation to cope with the devastation left by the rapture event. Everyone left after the rapture will have to go through this readjustment. The rapture will shake our nation, and no one will be able to pretend about its effect. It will happen, and as a matter of fact, it is closer than we imagine. What is your preparation for rapture as an individual? The fulfillment of the prophecy of rapture draws nearer every day. The raptured saints will have nothing to regret, but those that will be left behind will suffer the event of the Great Tribulation, where they have to accept the mark of the beast. We must watch, because we do not know the time when the trumpet will sound. We must remain in Jesus and maintain holy living. There is no other way to make it at rapture other than through faith in Jesus Christ. Which side will you find yourself? The saints rejoicing with Christ, or the left behind who will regret not accepting Jesus? God is a merciful God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9.
And welcome back. Let me just make a couple of very quick announcements, and then I want to continue with my discussion with Pete Garcia. Learn more about Pete at his website, rev310.net, rev310.net. A lot of articles there, interviews that he does. We do have a DVD of our Understanding the Times event from 2 weeks ago here in Minneapolis. Pastor Billy Crone, co-host Pastor Mark Henry, and yours truly, and you can watch it at no cost on our website, olivetreeviews.org, and then to video. You can watch it on our YouTube channel, Rumble channel. The DVD is just $10. We charge no shipping in the U.S. or Canada. It was a lengthy program that night with discussion and Q&A, as well as a very intriguing message. One more heads up about the fraud on some of our social media and the worst offender, as previously stated. Stolen videos on our YouTube channel. Many of you are very confused, and I don't blame you. Old programs are presented as new. They are altered. They're retitled. Advertising of old events as upcoming are given. Here's how to avoid these videos. The Olive Tree Jan Markell channel has about 175,000 subscribers. Avoid all others, please, or you're going to get really confused. And we have appealed to YouTube over a year to correct this. They have no interest in fixing it. We love to have you watch the video version of the program, as you will retain so much more. And you can watch the video version on our website, under radio, on our Rumble channel, on our Facebook page, Telegram page, his channel, Christian TV. light source. And again, you can stick with YouTube and look for 175,000 subscribers and avoid these others. Pete Garcia, who is my guest for the hour, you wanted to comment on Brandon Holthouse's comment there about how all of this affects Israel. So please go ahead.
In addition to the natural gas, in addition to the gold, in addition to the mineral wealth in the Dead Sea and the technology that Israel is possessing, the commonality between the three main protagonists within the Gog-Magog issue, Turkey, Russia, and Iran, is that they've all been slighted by something that Israel's done. If you look at it from that perspective, the taking over of the supplying of gas to Europe obviously is a slight to Russia, because now that used to belong to Russia, now it doesn't. The gas that Turkey can't get from the Mediterranean because it's not within their maritime borders, again, it's another slight to them. And then Iran, obviously, Israel's not going to let them go forward with this nuclear technology. So they are going to strike that and remove that capability. They all have that one thing in common, too. And I think what we're waiting on right now is going to be the rapture of the church.
In your chapter, and I'm transitioning here to, again, we're carrying the new book edited by Terry James. You've heard Terry on this program many, many times. Trajectory, Tracking the Approaching Tribulation Storm. Other contributors to the chapters, Tim Moore, Dave Reagan, Nathan Jones, Jim Fletcher, Todd Strandberg, Jeff Kinley, Wilfred Hahn, Jonathan Brentner, Mike Gendron, Bill Salas, and others. 17 contributors. And in your chapter, Pete Garcia, you make the point that for major changes to happen in the world, and again, we're back to this word crisis, there must be a crisis or just constant crises. One is coming that will affect probably America more than most nations, and that crisis, at least for those left behind, is the rapture. Why don't you just give us a quick comment on your chapter that you've written?
Rahm Emanuel, Obama's former chief of staff, famously said, "You never let a good crisis go to waste." I think that the rapture is going to be the world's greatest global crisis, and obviously a great global crisis requires a great global distraction, which Satan will immediately jump into action after the Lord takes his church home.
I'm going to read a paragraph of what you've written. Folks, this is in the book Trajectory, 17 authors. This is Pete's chapter I'm focusing on. And you say, now, this begs the question as to who these globalists are and what they're trying to achieve. First, the globalists are those who are in power now and want to keep that power forever. They might be out in the open or operating behind the throne, but they hold the reins. You say they are the establishment, Republicans and Democrats, the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission, the George Soros clan, the Rockefellers, the European bureaucrats, climate alarmist prophets, United Nations advocates, international banking cartel, and so on. And then you say they are throwing crisis after crisis at us in an attempt to get us agitated and panicked, to channel us onto a predetermined path. Ultimately, their goals are to get us to suicide our national sovereignty by trading our liberties for security. And then you wrap this paragraph up by saying, COVID was a surreal process to witness, and the tragedy in it was not just the dismantling of our constitutional republic, but of Western civilization at large. Nonetheless, the COVID-19 pandemic may have just been the first test of a 100-year process the globalists have been perfecting to ensure the United States abdicates its throne as a leader of the free world. Once that happens, the rest of the world will fall in line rather quickly and embrace the new normal of the Great Reset. This means accepting a new global government control affecting every facet of life on the planet. This is where they, the enlightened and global elite, want to take us, yet their plan isn't really their own. This is where the Bible said they would take us nearly 2,000 years ago. Pete, we have instability again. We have crises, and we have the global elite wanting to form a one-world government, and how interesting the Bible said all this would happen.
And I mentioned in there that the process, largely over the last 1,000 years or so, has been through corrupting the system, right? Satan has been corrupting the church now for almost 2,000 years, or trying to. And this crisis management, or management by crisis, is those short jumps where this is where they can grab power very quickly. And they began to perfect this several decades back now. This has been their go-to method for implementing quick change. Just as we saw in 2020, most people didn't realize how powerful state governors are. And they quickly realized that state governors wield a lot of power in terms of how people are going to be able to live their daily lives. In blue states, we've seen how these governors love to hold on to that power and they don't want to let it go. And that's just the most obvious example I could think of. But this obviously extends across the world. Canada's experienced this, some really draconian lockdowns, same thing with Australia, New Zealand, and then throughout Europe. But what we're starting to notice is people are pushing back and there's a lot of freedom movements breaking out across Europe. It kind of ties back to my original idea that the World Economic Forum and the United Nations, their Agenda 2030, they know these things don't work. They're designed to fail, but they're designed to fail in order to break these nations down so that they can be quickly taken over and then subsumed into some new global regional entity underneath this global government.
The point you're making, and I'm making as well, but your chapter makes it very clearly that the rapture is particularly going to devastate America because we have a substantial amount of evangelical born-again Christians in America. Parts of the world may not be all that affected. There are parts of the world that are extremely godless, though even in China, there's a huge segment of true Bible-believing Christians. Talking to Pete Garcia for this hour, talking about the chapter in the new Terry James book, Trajectory, Tracking the Approaching Tribulation Storm. And you write this, you say, "We know, according to Revelation 13, that the world will eventually end up under a single global system run by a man identified as the Little Horn, also known as the Rider on the White Horse, the Man of Sin, the Man of Lawlessness, the Son of Perdition, and the Beast." You say, "This man will control the entire earth and will use religion, politics, and economics to do so." And then you say, "I estimate he will be able to recover or assume control over America's vast wealth and military arsenals and then force the three other regions or areas to concede. He will have access to or control over powerful 5G, 6G, quantum-based, artificially intelligent information networks. And lastly, he will have the entirety of the fallen angelic hosts, including Satan, aiding him in his rise to power." Then, Pete, you morph into a discussion, which I'm intrigued by. I did programming on it a few months ago, on the Georgia Guidestones. Why don't you describe them and tell me why you included this in your chapter?
Well, obviously, this was written before they were destroyed.
And they were destroyed.
So the Georgia Guidestones appeared mysteriously in 1980 in Elbert County, Georgia, by a man under some pseudonym titled R.C. Christian. And so he wanted this monument built. The languages are interesting. You have English, Spanish, Swahili, Arabic, traditional Chinese, Russian, and Hebrew. And there is 10 commandments on there, but the one that is most troubling for everybody and the one that leads at the very start is this first one that says, "Maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature." Well, if we're at 8 billion now, you know, that means that 7.5 billion people would have to die in order to meet the intent of this commandment. I think the destruction of it here recently is still a mystery. I'm not entirely sure how it was destroyed or why. That is certainly the mindset for the Agenda 2030 and the World Economic Forum crowds. They are very much in favor of depopulation. Listen to guys like King Charles back when he was Prince Charles speaking at COP26. He had some very troubling comments as well. Al Gore, basically the entire Democratic left and then the progressive movements. This is interesting too, though, is that the Green Movement in Germany, which is largely responsible for helping push this really strict environmental policies in shuttering one of their nuclear facilities, and it's really going to come back to bite them this winter, unfortunately. And I think that, again, all of these policies are designed to fail and they're designed to create chaos. And ultimately, that chaos is going to lead to some man coming forward after the rapture of the church who will have the answers and have the ability to fix all these problems.
Folks, I did programming on this back in early August. If you'd like to hear it, just go to olivetreeviews.org and go to radio and you can see the previous programming. Did a half an hour on the Guidestones. It's a fascinating story. They were destroyed July 6th this past summer. I think it was pretty clearly explosives and that was caught on a camera. Very mysterious circumstances. And now I'm told they want to rebuild the Georgia Guidestones. Again, on the Guidestones were the Ten Commandments, really of the New World Order. That's why Pete's brought it up. That's why I'm bringing it up. and nefariously, I believe, taken down. Again, Pete, intriguing thought that there's a Ten Commandments, or there were a Ten Commandments of the New World Order, and probably nefariously taken out this summer. You can't make some of this stuff up. It's just getting stranger and stranger.
I think one of the things, and a friend of mine, Britt Gillette, brought this up the other day, but he's been writing about it for several years now, is this long-held policy of the Cold War, of mutually assured destruction. So everybody right now is thinking about nuclear war. They're thinking, we've got the United States buying all this anti-radiation medicine and stockpiling it, and other nations are doing it as well. But I think that belies the reality of where we are today technology-wise. What Britt was mentioning was this idea of swarm technology, molecular manufacturing, and artificial intelligence. All of these things are going to render this idea of mutually assured destruction obsolete. So when this man comes to power after the rapture of the church, I think he's going to have these things in his pocket. He's going to be able to use these to great effect to gain leverage over three of these territories or regions or whatever they end up becoming. And then that's how he gains control over the whole system. And the system that he gains control of, we are seeing being built today with digital currencies, with the surveillance society, with the emerging of the cyber physical, putting technology into the human body so that they can track everything and not just track your bodies or where you're going, but what you're thinking and how you're feeling. The technology here today is absolutely frightening. I think COVID-19 was one of those things that they used. They took advantage of a crisis and they sped through a bunch of things that we're probably not even aware of today. Obviously, what the lockdowns did do that we know specifically is that it sped up our digitization of society by 6 years. So where we are in 2020 in terms of Zoom and being able to work from home and doing all that, that would have taken 6 years had the lockdowns not happened and all these businesses forced to go online. We're seeing it play out in real time.
I want to discuss one more angle here with you. I'm not quite finished with your chapter in this book, but I think what I'm bringing up might tie to it a little bit. I think it might have been CNN came out with a story, this would have been maybe a month ago or so, about what they called, because we're talking here in particularly part two of my programming about this rapture forthcoming, any day, imminent, the feature that was aired, rapture anxiety. Of course, the secular left likes to deny anything that's of biblical significance and particularly offers biblical hope, and the rapture is called in the Bible the blessed hope. I'm going to play just a real short clip here. It's Jeff Kinley talking with journalist Billy Hollowell about what is rapture anxiety and isn't the rapture meant to be a comfort and anything but causing anxiety.
Jeff, CNN ran a headline, and I'm laughing getting into this already, but they ran a story in a headline about something called rapture anxiety. Is this a term you had heard before?
No, I've never heard rapture anxiety.
So what was your reaction to hearing this term rapture anxiety and then having a chance to sort of read through the rationale for this theory?
To me, it was kind of like a three-prong response. I mean, the first thing I thought was, really? You're making up this whole idea of the fact that people all over the place are just so filled with anxiety about the rapture, which I've rarely encountered. That's one thing. The kind of the flip side of it was the irony of it is that the rapture is really designed to bring comfort, not anxiety. It's a complete opposite, which made me think, okay, where's all this coming from? And then the third thing was I thought, okay, let's move back to the middle for just a second and just admit the fact that, yeah, the rapture has been used as a scare tactic against people in the past to try to get them saved or that type of thing. So I get that. I also get the fact that sometimes in portrayals of the rapture, it is very sensational, which it's a sensational event going to be. Again, I go back to scripture, Billy, and I see how Bible prophecy and the rapture is meant to be the most comforting thing for a believer. And I think about it's the bride of Christ and she gets to be rescued. So why should she be anxious about that? So I just like to say if the rapture is taught improperly or with poor motives or improper motives, then yeah, it's going to bring fear and anxiety. But when it's taught accurately, it's going to bring comfort and hope.
So there's a lot to unpack with what you just said. And by the way, let me underscore the fact that you saying you had not heard this term or encountered it is very noteworthy because I don't know anybody else who's written as many books about the topic as you have. I feel like you've covered this topic quite a bit. You continue to, so you know it well, you interact in these circles. And so not encountering this as a massive phenomenon, this rapture anxiety, I think is notable. Then you started to identify and define it there. Most people in the Christian world will know what the rapture is, but can you quickly just define it so that people do understand the baseline of what is being claimed here?
Absolutely. The rapture, just simply, we call it the rapture. It's simply the blessed hope, Titus 2:13. It's the teaching and the doctrines of in the Bible that Jesus is going to come back to rescue his bride prior to God unleashing his wrath that we read about in Matthew 24 and Revelation 6 through 19. So it's God rescuing his bride before he brings judgment upon the earth.
Pete Garcia, I don't know that there's anything the secular left won't try to destroy or discredit, and now they're trying to discredit, of course, our blessed hope.
If you were Satan, if you were the enemy, obviously one of the greatest hopes that we have as being Christians, aside from our eternal salvation, is the rapture of the church. But Jesus said in John 14:29, he says, "And now I've told you before it comes, that when it happens, you may believe." Prophecy exists in the Bible not to scare us, but to prepare us. And that the rapture of the church was this promise that Christ there in John 14 to the disciples and us by extension, and that Paul later unpacks in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15. This is the great promise that every generation has had to look forward to. And it's only been in our generation that we've had everything, that all the convergences of events that really makes the generation to be the one to see it. We don't know exactly when it's going to happen. The idea has been abused and sensationalized by others who foolishly try to put a date to it, but that doesn't deny the reality of it. It's still going to happen. And every doctrine out there has been abused or sensationalized to some degree or another. And we don't abandon all those things simply because some have come out there and made some outlandish or sensational claims about, say, baptism or talking in tongues or eternal security or anything, Israel, the church, anything that you could find in the Bible has been sensationalized by somebody right at some point. We don't throw those things out. The rapture is doctrinal. The pre-tribulation rapture, meaning that it's going to happen prior to the 70th week of Daniel, is absolutely scriptural, and it will happen exactly like that.
I'm going back to the book Trajectory here and what you've written, and you say, "We've seen how the global system has tried time and time again to present something, anything, as the crisis of record that can somehow use to their advantage war, global cooling, global warming, climate change, COVID-19 and other pandemic diseases, banks too big to fail, oil, water, food, immigration, Islamic terrorism." That's not to say that these aren't issues, but none of these were ever big enough for the Great Reset and the globalists and the UN that they had hoped for. They need a crisis of true global calamity. And then you say, yet one crisis is coming that I believe will be used as the crisis to force the nations to realign. I am so sure it is the crisis because it's the one thing none of them, the godless Christ-rejecting leadership, are talking about. If it's mentioned at all, it's only used as a punchline to be laughed at and to be mocked. The reason I played that little clip of Rapture Anxiety. The crisis, you ask? Again, it's the rapture of the church. I am quickly running out of time, Pete Garcia. Why don't you wrap things up again? Reach Pete at rev310.net. Find the book in my online store, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. Call my office. But why don't you take a couple of minutes and wrap up our discussion?
I base my website on the verse Rev 310, because I've always found great comfort in it when it says, "Because you've kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." And I think as we draw nearer to that time, we are seeing it's harder to persevere. It's harder to persevere in a world that's being given over to the spirit of Antichrist. This is the great promise. The promise is that Christ is going to take us from this world before he issues his own judgment. And that judgment is going to be such a terrible time. And for the lost, it should produce hand-wringing and nervousness. But if they're here and they're listening to this right now, they still have time. And all they have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and they can be saved and they will be going with us. And then that anxiety will turn to comfort and it'll turn into an undeniable and unbelievable comfort and joy to look forward to knowing that this is the worst. This world that we're in now is the worst that we will ever know. And for the lost, this is the best it'll ever get. And so I think that being in Christ is the absolute best place that we can be. And even now in this lifetime, with all of our own problems and the loneliness and the struggles and the debt and the bills and all the crime and wickedness going on in the world, we can take comfort
that Christ is coming back for us, and Amen. He is going to take us to be where he is.
Let me just go out of the program, just a couple of sentences here, and thank you, Pete, for all you do and for contributing to this wonderful new book. So they may preach a great reset, but as believers, we will preach a greater reset. Satan is pulling out all the stops as he gets closer to the day when God will sovereignly allow one final act of global tyranny through the establishment of the one world political, economic, and religious system prophesied in the Bible. But if you find yourself anxious about the great satanic reset that is advancing, please, I want to encourage you to stop and contemplate the greatest reset that is yet to come, because the true king is coming. He will defeat the enemies of God and inaugurate the long-awaited kingdom of peace, justice, and righteousness throughout all the earth. That, my friends, is the greatest reset we can possibly imagine. I want to thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. We encourage you to always look up and not around if you are to remain hopeful. God may be orchestrating the last act of history as the church age winds down. Know that you are in the palm of his hands. You are more valuable than the sparrow, and you are watching everything fall into place.